This morning, we're going to carry on with the series that we've been looking at for the past 2 weeks, no, for the past 3 weeks. So as a church, what we do is every month, we try and get a sense of what God is speaking to us as a local church, and we focus the preaching on that topic. So this month, we've been looking at a topic called the return of our Lord Jesus Christ and the rapture of the saints. The return of our Lord Jesus Christ and the rapture of the saints. So, to give us a background, Jesus came 2,000 years ago as a baby. That's why we celebrate Christmas. We have all the nice Christmas events. And by the way, side note, if you don't have to worry about what you're going to get me for Christmas. I'll just do like a list. Someone should remind me to put it on the church thing. So don't worry about, oh man, what am I going to give Pastor Benson for Christmas? That's sorted. So Jesus came as a baby about 2,000 years ago. That's well known. And before Jesus came as a baby, it had been spoken about. Isaiah the prophet, hundreds of years before Jesus was born, said that Jesus would be born. Other prophets as well spoke extensively about the coming of Jesus Christ as a baby then. A savior will be born. This savior will be born by a virgin. And all that came to pass, and it's on record now, that Jesus was actually born as a baby. He was crucified as it had been written about him. So that was Jesus then as a baby. After Jesus was crucified, he died and he rose again and he went to heaven. He also said something that he would return in the future. And in his return in the future, he would not come as a baby, he would come as Jesus the King. And when he comes this second time, not as a baby, but as a king, there are certain things that would happen on the earth. There will be judgment. There will be a lot of interesting things. There will be hope for us who are born again. So when we say the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's really nothing complicated. What that just means is that Jesus said he's going to come back the second time. So that's what we refer to as the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the other bit is the rapture of the saints. The rapture of the saints. So, what is the rapture of the saints? Now, what the rapture means is when Jesus comes back the second time, as he will, everyone who is a Christian and everyone who died as a Christian, as a believer, would rise up. For the people who died or who are dead, when Jesus comes back, the Bible says that they will rise up from their graves, they'll be given new bodies, and they will meet Jesus in the air. For people who are around when Jesus returns, we will be caught up with him. We'll just zap into thin air and meet with Jesus. So that's what the rapture is called. I remember I mentioned last week that I was watching this film. I watched it a number of times. It had part 1, 2, 3. I've forgotten what the name of the film is. And this film was modern, it was a modern day film depicting what the return of Jesus would look like, what the rapture would be like. And in that film that I watched, Jesus returned and people who were believers disappeared all over the planet. And in that film, people were thinking, is this like an alien invasion? Have we been attacked? Have we been, and all those things. But simply, it was the rapture and the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that film was really interesting. It just gave us like a sense of what it might be like. So that's what we've been looking at for the past 3 weeks. Today, I'm going to focus on an aspect of this return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Over the past 3 weeks, we looked at, I described briefly what the return of the Lord means, what the rapture is, which I've just described briefly here. I went into detail about that. The other thing I looked at was that Jesus said that certain things will begin to happen just before he returns, so that we'll know that what Jesus said is coming very soon. Now, one of the things that we looked at in terms of what are the signs that we will see when Jesus is about to come back, he outlined those things. And we looked at those things in detail. One of the things we looked at was the fact that Jesus said that there will be a lot of wars and rumors of war. If you look around you, just switch on your news. I don't know if people still watch telly now. Everybody watches Netflix and YouTube. But if you just Google like a news channel, there's no day that you will not hear that this country is at war with this other country, that country has bombed that country, this country is threatening the next country. So Jesus said that when he is about to come, these things will increase. He also said there will be earthquakes, there will be tremors and all that. I mentioned that there's a thing I read a while ago that said that, you know, and you know, please don't quote me on this, I just read it, I think, on the internet, that the amount of earthquakes that have happened between the early 90s or the early 1900s till now has quadrupled, considering the number of earthquakes that happened, should I say, from the first century to the 19th century. So it's increasing in rapid rate. I mean, I think there was a tornado in I don't know if it was Miami, but South America. I mean, all these things are happening. So Jesus said that these are some of the things that will begin to happen at an escalating rate. So that when we begin to see these things, we should be conscious that, look, Jesus is coming soon. So that's what we've been looking at. But today I want to focus on one thing that Jesus said would be another hallmark to mark his coming. I'm going to read from the book of Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12. Matthew chapter 24 verse 12. That's what I'm going to focus on today. If you read, we don't have to go there. If you read the whole of Matthew chapter 24, it begins to talk about the things that would happen just before Jesus comes back. Some of them I've described already. But the one I want to focus on today is Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. And in that portion of scripture, it's just a single line of text, a single phrase, but extremely important. Not that all the other bits in the Bible are not important, but I want us to pay particular attention to this one. It says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will, not cold, not maybe, he said, will grow cold. The love of most. He didn't say the love of some. He didn't say the love of many. He says the love of most. So it appears that this thing about the love, people's love growing cold is going to be almost universal. Now, so that's what I want to focus on today. So Jesus begins to tell us there in that portion of scripture that amongst other things that will be happening, earthquakes, wars, those things are external as well. But this one relates to you and I, and we have to be quite careful that we do not, should I use that word, that this doesn't happen to us. And that if this happens to you and I, we know how to deal with it. So that's what I'm focusing on this morning, the love of many growing cold in the context of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to make 3 points this morning around this portion of scripture. Now, sorry, I'm just... why is this issue of love so important? Now, I'm not talking about love from the popular culture perspective. I'm not talking about love from the way it's portrayed by Hollywood. You know, there was a while ago, I was like, man, in the 60s, previously, I used to be like a big fan of the 60s. I mean, I loved all the music then. I think then they played real music. Everything now is synthesized. You just go to your computer, just a few knobs, and voila, you've got music. In those days, no, it was like live guitar playing, live drums. You didn't have all these machines that we have that if you sing, the machines can correct your voice if it's out of tune. Everything was live then, and the music. So I really loved the music then when I was much younger. And in those days, every film that they were making then was 60s, 70s, was about love. It was about love. Most of the films you see, like young people in America, you know, going on a drive with their girlfriend, or, you know, so it was just this love, 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 love thing. I think it's still portrayed a bit, even now. If you want your film to have a catch, or if you want your film to, you know, be pertinent in Hollywood mostly, I mean, you have to slip in something about love, girl meets boy, boy does, you know, and all these things. Do you get what I mean? So, love is a subject that is quite popular. Do you get what I mean? It is quite popular and it sells. However, the kind of love that we're talking about today is not the romantic kind of love from Hollywood's perspective. We're talking about a different kind of love. Now, why is love so important in the context of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? I'll look at a few things. But just bearing in mind that it's not the Hollywood kind of love where it's like, oh, boy meets girl, and, you know, they play the music and they're like, oh, I just, oh my, when I saw you, I nearly tripped and all that. Not that kind of love. Let me tell you guys something, right? And I'm not looking in any direction, by the way. There was this girl, I don't know if she comes to this church or not, and a couple of weeks ago, I now see this guy with her, and he's like, oh, Pastor Benson, before she spoke, I said, hang on, isn't this the same girl that I saw 2 weeks ago? There was a certain radiance. I don't know why you guys are laughing. I'm describing a real life situation and I'm not looking in any direction. There was a certain radiance and my mind said, hang on, what is happening here? It was love emanating. I now said, oh my goodness, the guy that she came with, nobody had to tell me that love was, you know what I mean? Thank you, thank you. But I'm not looking in any direction. Do you get what I mean? I am not looking in any direction. I'm just using this as an analogy. So, coming back to topic today. So, I'm looking at what Jesus said here. He says, the love of most will grow cold before he returns. And this will be something that is very prevalent. So, the question for us this morning is, why is love so important in the context of God? Why is it important? Why is it a big deal? I'll look at 3 points this morning, like I mentioned, around love and why Jesus makes such a big deal out of it. Well, the first point I want to make this morning is that in our Christian walk, in our Christian journey, love is the foundation. Now, like I described, I'm not talking about the Hollywood kind of love, the romantic kind of love, which is fine. No, I'm talking about love that is deeper than that. Love is the foundation of our Christian walk. Love is the foundation that holds everything together when it comes to us and God and our Christian walk. I'll read John chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 3, verse 16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So it was the motivation of God and love in God's heart for us that caused Jesus to die the gruesome death that he did for us. It was motivated by love. It was not motivated by, what was that word? It wasn't motivated by compassion only, although there's compassion in love. It wasn't motivated because God wanted something from us. No, God loves And he loved and he loves us. And because of that, he sent Jesus to die for us. The Bible tells us that God himself is love. It doesn't say God is loving, although he is. It says God emanates, embodies love. So love is really important in the context of our Christian walk. So the first point, like I'm saying, is this. Love is the basis for our Christian walk. Now, there is the love that God has for us, which I described in John chapter 3, verse 16. There's another portion of scripture talking about God's love, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It says, but God demonstrated his own love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the love that God has for you and I is not one that is conditional. This portion of scripture says that while we were yet sinners, while we didn't want to have anything to do with God at all, that love was still there. Do we understand? So love is a big deal in the context of our relationship with God. So why is love important? Looking at the first point, there is another kind of love. I'm looking at the three aspects of love that are important. So there is the love that God has for us that I described. There is a love that we should have for God. And if you look at Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, you know, the context to that is this. Jesus was on the earth. He was performing miracles. He had disciples with him. There were a lot of people that followed him around. He would heal some of them. He would feed some of them. He would pay the taxes for some of them. I was just saying, you know, one day Peter came to Jesus and he was like, Jesus, HMRC have just sent me a letter that I need to pay these taxes and they're going to just, you know, take everything away from me. And Jesus said, look, no problem at all. Just go to river. Someone should give me the name of a river around here, please. Is it Thames? Thames is in London. We're not in London. This is Bristol. So what's the one we went to yesterday, that beach place?
Barry Island Beach.
Yeah, I told someone yesterday, I don't know where this place is. I just got on the coach and I found myself here. So he said, go to Barry Island Beach by the coast there. Take a fishing rod and just throw that rod in there. When you bring that, when you know, catch one fish, when you catch the fish, open its mouth and there you'd have like your taxes money in there. So he paid their taxes. So the Bible says that we will do what Jesus did, right? So who's going to volunteer this morning that I'm going to ask you to go to Barry Beach? On your way, buy a fishing rod and catch one fish. When you open the mouth of the fish, tell me what you see there. If it's a diamond thing, bring it back. And so who's going to volunteer for that one? I should just pick someone. Just kidding. So Jesus was healing people and doing all sorts of things. And his disciples came to him. And his disciples were asking a question. Jesus, what can we do to be good Christians? What can we do to do the works that you do? What can we do to make our lives worthwhile? Do you want us to be preachers? Do you want us to tell people about you? Do you want us to go out into society and make a difference? Jesus, just tell us what you want us to do. And Jesus' response was interesting. This was his response to them. His response was this. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. So what Jesus was telling them is this. As a Christian, love is the foundation of your love, of your walk as a Christian. Now, why is that important? It's important because if your commitment to Jesus is out of obligation, if your commitment to Jesus is out of guilt of repaying what Jesus has done for you, if your walk as a believer is based on maybe what Jesus can do for you, or maybe what you can do for Jesus, maybe you're like, oh, I can sing, I can do this, and that is what the basis of your relationship with Christ is. Those things are not bad, by the way, but those things are limited, because a day will surely come when your commitment falters. A day will surely come when you just don't feel like doing anything at all. At those times, the only thing that will carry you forward is your love for Jesus. And Jesus highlighted this point. So he said, amongst all the things that we do, which are great, it's important that we realize that it is our love for him that will carry us through. Do you understand? I remember, it is the love that we have for him that will carry us through. I have these stories in my mind. It's just like maybe when a guy meets a girl. first time, and he's so excited. I remember back in the day, one of my friends told me, this was years ago, we grew up together, and he was like, man, I found this girl. I think that was like over 20 years ago. I found this girl. I was like, okay. And he went on and on and on and on, which was great, by the way. There was nothing he wouldn't do for this girl. Then, are you going to be at my house? Can you drive me to go and pick something up? This girl would tell him, can you please pick me up at my house to drive me to the other end of London? I need to pick some things up. The guy would be like, is that all you want? He was there. Anything. She could call him at 3 a.m., picked up the phone. So what was motivating him at that time? It was love. Even if that love inconvenienced him. Do you understand? So love is quite important in our relationship with Christ, and that's what will carry us through. So we're still on the first point, saying love is the basis of our Christian walk. God's love for us, our love for God, and the other love that we also have, Jesus says here. And he says that in John chapter 13, verse 35. John chapter 13, verse 35, he says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So Jesus also says something there, that look, the way people will know that you're my disciples, the way our lives together as Christians, as believers, will show that we belong to him, the life that we live that distinguishes it from other kinds of life, is our love for one another. So why am I making all this point about love? Jesus said that love is the most important thing in our walk. His love for us, our love for him, and our love for one another. So he now, coming back to the main point of one of the things that Jesus said will begin to happen before he returns. So if we go back to that Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, Jesus said that one thing that will characterize our present-day society, and it will become increasingly so, and this would indicate that he's coming back very soon, is this. It says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. The love of most will grow cold. So what is saying that what we will begin to experience often is that the love that we have for God might diminish. The love that we have for each other might diminish as well. So the question is this. What causes love to grow cold? So if we're saying this is what Jesus said, that the love of most will grow cold, and we want to avoid that, or if our love is growing cold already, we want to bring it back from the place where it's cold to the place where it's fervent. What are the things that cause it? A number of points. And I believe this can apply to our regular human relationships as well. You know, spouse, husband, wife, and all that. But for this one, we're focusing on our love for God, but you can apply it. So the second point is, how does our love for God grow cold? Revelations chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "Yet I hold this against you, you have forsaken the love that you had at first." So the first thing that causes love to grow cold is neglect. Is neglect. It's not necessarily anything out there, like, you know, something big happens. No. Neglect causes love to grow cold. So, I mean, maybe before you, maybe between spouses, when you met your spouse and you guys were dating, you were always on each other's case. You know, you were messaging them, "Hello, how is your day? What are you doing now? Let's catch up. Let's go and catch some ice cream there." You're always like, you know, interested, you know, doing something. You know what I mean? Sending all those emojis. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I don't know why you're laughing. No, it's true. All those things. But when neglect comes in, neglect is, well, man, I'm not really, you know, I have other things to do. I have my job, I have these kids that are running up and down. And if we're not careful, neglect creeps in, and suddenly that love that you had that was so fervent just becomes mellow. And you're like, man, I'm not feeling this thing like as I used to for this person. Neglect can happen to us. So neglect is the first thing. So we can neglect our relationship with God, where we just put God on the back burner. What, you know, maybe once in a while you just turn up at church, or once in a while you just pick the Bible, just flip through, and it's like you don't really have that much time for God. It's like it becomes like on the back burner. Neglect is something that makes our love grow cold. Another one is this: unmet expectations. Unmet expectations. John chapter 6, verse 66. Some people were following Jesus and they wanted certain things from him. But at some point, Jesus didn't give them that thing anymore. They wanted food, they wanted him to take care of them, and he was like, "Look, guys, I can do that, but that's not the context of this relationship." Unmet expectations. So the same way with our own earthly relationships as well. I'll go to the spousal one. Maybe you expected that when you got married, your husband or wife would bring you breakfast in bed. And the first day happens and it's like, "Where's the breakfast?" And your spouse is like, "If you want breakfast, the kitchen is there. You've got legs, my friend." And you're like, "This is not what I signed up for." Or maybe before, when you were dating your spouse and all that, they would, you know, Valentine's Day, wrap presents, you know, the present is waiting for you and all that. Then next Valentine's Day comes up 3 years later after you guys are married, and you're expecting that, and you message them and say, "Oh, it's Valentine's Day, what's happening?" And it's like, "Oh, really? I forgot. Is it Valentine's Day? Or maybe it's their birthday, but you guys will forget your spouse's birthday. Is it your birthday today? Oh, I thought it was next week." And we have these expectations and they're not met. And what that begins to do to us is just like, man, is this really worth it at all? And the love that we have in that context begins to ebb out. The same thing with God. Maybe we expect certain things from God. Maybe we prayed. We're like, God, this is what I want. This is what I need. And that hasn't come through. I was like, man, God, this is not, I mean, we might not say it out loud. But we're like, man, this Christianity thing, I'm not quite sure it works. Unmet expectations. Then we begin to draw back. What other thing causes our love to grow cold? Disappointment. Psalm 119 verses 116. It says, sustain me, my God, according to your promise, and I will live. Do not let my hopes be dashed. There are times that we're disappointed with God. We might not say it out loud. Maybe it's like, man, I was expecting this. I was expecting that. It hasn't happened, and I'm disappointed. Maybe with our spouses as well, sometimes we're disappointed. It's like, man, when I met you, this wasn't you. And disappointment sets in. And even for God, maybe we're disappointed sometimes with him. So when you combine these three things, neglect, unmet expectations, and disappointment, and you let those things carry on, what begins to happen is that the love you have just begins to wane. If we do not address these things with God as well, the love we have for him begins to wane, and it becomes almost uninteresting. It becomes like a burden, like, oh, I have to pray now. Do I have to go to church? It becomes a burden. It's no longer, oh, do I have to call this person? They've messaged me. I don't have time. I'm not going to message. I'll message back 2 days later. This was the person that 2 seconds later, you messaged them back with 10 emojis. Jesus said, one of the characteristics of this day is the love we have, if we're not careful, will grow cold. Grow cold towards him, grow cold towards ourselves, and it becomes a life that is just what I'll call flat, passionless. It now becomes just going through the motions. You wake up like, whatever, I can't kick this person out. I can't kill them either. That would be murder. So I'm just going to coast. Yeah, at least I don't think anybody would kill anybody that I know. And it becomes like this dry thing, nothing exciting anymore. It becomes like a drab. You wake up, it's like, oh, this person is here again. Oh. In that instance, love has become cold. Jesus said it. So I've made two main points this morning. I said, why is love important? I said, love is the foundation of our Christian walk. Second point I've just made is, how does love grow cold? Neglect, disappointment, and unmet expectations. So the third and final point I'm making this morning is this. So how do we keep our love alive? When love grows cold, is that the end? You just like, well, that's it. God, I've had enough. You know, what do you do? Very simple. And it's from a portion of scripture that I've read before. Yeah. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. This is the cure. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Jesus said here, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So if your love is growing cold in any area, particularly as it has to do with God, you can make a decision that, look, I am going to begin to love God with my heart. That means the things that caused you to love God in the first place, or that person, you begin to do it. You begin to give them more time. Do you understand? You begin to overlook the disappointments that you have and just sometimes accept it and pray that God will remove the disappointment or give you the heart to be able to just overlook those disappointments. Unmet expectations. God says the cure for this for him is a decision from you and I. And as you begin to give God more time, study his word, just pray, have conversations with him, even when you don't feel like it, something will begin to happen. Your heart and the love that you had initially will begin to come back as you make that conscious decision to do those things. So if you used to emoji your spouse previously, like every day, but now you don't, maybe you want to start that again. And it might, maybe for the first few days, it might be one that is just like with gritted teeth. All right, I'm just going to emoji them. Just hi. Start with hi. Hi. How's your day going? One emoji, press, and it goes. And they don't respond. Don't worry. Next day, send the next emoji. How are you doing? Send. And what will happen is that as you make the decision to love, irrespective, and you stay on it, that love will be rekindled with time. That's the same thing God is saying this morning. From his word, that you and I need to make a decision this morning and on a daily basis that, look, irrespective of how I feel about God, maybe I feel like praying, I don't feel like praying, I feel like reading my Bible, whatever. Irrespective of how I feel, I make a decision today and every day that God, irrespective of whatever expectations that I have that have not been met at this time, irrespective of the disappointments that I've experienced, irrespective of what has happened, I make my mind up today and every day. Irrespective of those things, I will love you with all my heart. I will love you with all my soul. And I will love you with all my mind. As we make a commitment to do this, then this portion of scripture, the portion of scripture we read in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, will not apply. Our love will always be on fire for Jesus. Amen.